finding them on the papers is hard to find in the magazine. Doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers.
AMFM shortwave talk radio.
The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio.
Jack Cohen. Jack, are you on?
I'm here.
All right. Good for you.
Yeah.
What a dependable man you are.
Thank you.
I'm the one who didn't show up, actually, was Ralph. He hasn't been on. The audience hasn't heard from him since he did his time.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh. And actually, Ralph has been involved in my favorite thing these days, and that's Child Protective Services issues.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually where he went today. He went to court to try to help somebody with them that they were trying to take their kids from him. So how are you, Jack?
I'm excellent.
you were kind enough to... Actually, I thought who did that first. It was Vinny that sent me the site on Lindsay first, and then you sent it to me.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about Lindsay Springer, who is out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, that I have just... absolutely adored for years. I think he's just an incredible man, and he's just a baby, isn't he, Jack?
He's a youth, yeah.
he's just a mere child, and he has always just been a marvel to me, an incredible wealth of knowledge. I mean, he just can rattle court cases and stuff out of his head faster than anybody I know, and it's all committed to memory. And Lindsay has a new website up. Should we just jump right in on the 1040, Jack?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Lindsay has a new website up called, help me, Jack, Protester?
It's penaltyprotester.com or .org.
Okay, I've got it up, actually. Penaltyprotester.com or .org. And on the Penalty Protester website, what he shows is his suit... against the United States of America and the IRS. And it sounds like we have a break, and so we'll be back after the break.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. We have a special offer for RBN listeners. We have a very limited supply of the very large quarter-ounce, brilliant uncirculated 5-peso Uruguay gold coin minted in 1930. This 8-piece package contains more than 2 ounces of pure gold and is available for $1,431 delivered. Volume discounts apply to those of you who want to purchase 3 or more of these packages. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 or visit our website at republictradinggroup.com and order online. With many analysts calling for gold to double and even triple due to the heightened tensions in the Middle East, there's never been a better time to secure your wealth. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-691-7898 and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
This isn't John Stadtmiller, but it is Jesse Andrews, and I'm on today with Jack Cohen. What's the weather like in Seattle, Jack?
Well, it's typically overcast.
I see. Okay. Well, you know how Texas is.
Yeah.
Always hot.
Yeah.
Okay. You've gone over Lindsay's declaratory judgment and injunction for other equitable relief, true?
Uh-huh. Yes, I have.
The thing that surprises me about the Form 1040, and let's face it, some of our friends are in jail for willful failure to file a 1040. They try to coerce everyone into filing a Form 1040, and I just never thought of it as an information gathering form before. And that's all it is, isn't it?
It's a request for information.
Yeah. A request for information. And any time an agency of the government puts out a request for information, they have to be in compliance with the...
Paperwork Reduction Act.
Right. I'll jump right in and finish my sentence. You can start my sentences, actually, Jack. I'd appreciate it. I'm actually trying to snarf a salad here between breaks because I haven't eaten all day. So the Paperwork Reduction Act says that it has to have a valid OMB number. Is that correct on any form?
That's what it says.
Okay. And the IRS just doesn't have one, do they?
Well, not on Form 1040.
Or 1040ES or 1040...
Any of the 1040-related forms, right.
Nothing with 1040 on it in any form.
Right.
Do they not have a valid OMB number? Why not?
Well, for several reasons. First of all, when OMB assigns a control number to a document, it's for a stated period, the maximum of which is 3 years. And each year, the IRS form changes a bit. They make changes to the form, add lines, subtract lines. And so when they reapply for use of the form, which they have to do every year because it's only good for 1 year, OMB should assign a different number to it.
Okay, so OMB assigns a number to IRS applies to OMB for a number.
Right.
For its information gathering form.
Uh-huh.
And because the IRS form changes somewhat every year, at the maximum, if it never changed, it might be valid for 3 years, correct?
Right.
But because they make minor changes to it every year, they have to reapply for sanction with the OMB, correct?
They have to reapply for a new number.
For a new number.
Mm-hmm.
And the number
1545-1545-00774 has been their number for at least 20 years.
Since 1981.
Right.
On all the forms. And each form should have a different number, correct?
Right.
Each form of 1040 should have a different number?
Right.
So they're not in compliance with the Paperwork Reduction Act.
Exactly.
And so nobody, no public, none of the public, have any obligation to fill out their form. Is that not also correct?
Yeah, that's true, because according to Lindsay's case, and I think he's right on, if they don't have a valid OMB control number, according to the Paperwork Reduction Act, they have to tell you that your response is not mandatory. And, of course, they pretend that your response is mandatory by citing three sections of the code that refer to any person liable or every person liable.
Nowhere do they refer to the Paperwork Reduction Act itself,
right,
where it says you're not required.
Right. Now, years ago, I did a little research on the OMB control number that was assigned to Form 1040, which is 1545-0074, and I found 128 provisions in the Code of Federal Regulations relating to Subtitle A, which is Part 1 of the Code of Federal Regulations, 26 CFR. I found about 128 applications for the form, and they fell into one of seven categories, either a request or a refund, an exemption, allowance, deduction, or a change of status or change of tax year. That's six. I can't think of the seventh one off the top of my head. I'll think of it in a minute. But there are only seven uses for the form, and they're all claim forms. And so years ago, they had assigned a number to Form 2555 and attached it to Code Section 1 by way of 26 CFR 1.1-1.
Now, 2555 is the form that United States citizens outside the country fill out.
You attach a Form 2555 to a 1040 to claim exemption from taxes because your money came from overseas. And your wages are exempt up to, currently it's up to about $80,000.
Well, actually, the 2555 didn't have to have a 1040.
Yeah, it did. You attach it to a 1040. It says so right in the instructions.
Huh.
Yeah. But then they removed that reference to the 2555 at Section 1 to avoid confusion.
To avoid confusion, it's because the 2555 allows a $75,000 deduction, exemption.
If you look at the table presented by the IRS itself at 26 CFR 602.101, there's a list of OMB control numbers there. And if you look for Code Section 1, which is really the only taxing statute you can find, there is hereby imposed a tax on the taxable income of, and it lists a number of individuals, there is no form OMB control number attached to that section. So there's no form that's been approved by the IRS for Code Section 1. Now, Code Section 1 is, as far as I can tell, the only taxing statute in the whole code, other than maybe Section 11, which applies to corporations.
And so what does 1 apply to?
Section 1 applies to the taxable income of individuals. And 1.1-1A22, a little subsection of the corresponding regulation to Section 1, it identifies individuals as non-resident aliens with income effectively connected to the conduct of a trade or business in the United States. So Code Section 1 applies to aliens. It doesn't apply to citizens, no matter how much they screen, because Code Section 1 is a tax on imposed on aliens pursuant to the tax treaties that we have with some 38 different countries. So the 1040 itself has always been for use for that purpose, for reporting foreign income.
For reporting worldwide income, not
right,
domestic income.
And if you look at the form 4563, which is the exclusion form for American Samoa, it says you don't have to report domestic income if it comes from Samoa or the Northern Mariana Islands or,
Right, people
Guam.
That live in Samoa have total exemption.
Yeah, but you must report your worldwide income on Form 1040. So
or,
the instructions for Form 1040, which are currently at page 19 on income, it says you must report income from sources outside the United States unless exempt by law or tax treaty. That instruction is corroborated by the 4563 instructions.
Right, but also on the
But Lindsay's case hinges on the number, and all of the instructions and information given with respect to the number in the IRS instruction books are in the instruction books and not on the form, and they have to be on the form. The form has to display a valid OMB control number, and if it does, they have to tell you that your response is mandatory under the law.
Also, it has to have an expiration number, right?
And it has to have an expiration date. Of course, they don't have to expire a date on a form that's only good for 1 year. But what happens is that they have to reapply for the use of the same form because they've altered it.
But they don't have an expiration date on the 1040, do they?
No.
And yet they've used the same number for forever.
Well, no, they can't, because even if they use the same form over and over again, they have to, because they change it every year, they have to reapply to OMB for another number.
But that's what I'm saying. They haven't reapplied, and they've
kept... And what they do is they reapply, but they reapply for the use of the same number. Now, as far as I can tell, OMB doesn't approve the use of the same number for year after year after year after year. There's never any finality by Office of Management and Budget on their use of the same form over and over again with the same number.
Well, I got interrupted when I was reading Lindsay's suit. What does he say about the I-83? Does he say that the IRS submits it?
Yes, that's the form that they submit for approval.
Right, but do they approve it? I mean, do they submit it?
According to Lindsay, they don't.
Well, that's what Ralph was finding too. Ralph was going down that trail as well on the I-83,
yeah.
The form that, and the I-83 again is the form that an agency has to submit to the OMB as a request for the number. So for people that don't like to listen to numbers and forms and whatnot out there, what does this mean?
Well, what it means is that we have a right to challenge when they send us a Form 1040. We have a right to challenge whether that form is intended for us, and whether it has approval by OMB. And if they can't produce the proof that it's been approved by OMB with that number, then you don't have to respond to it, no matter how much they pressure they try to put on you.
So that would bring a whole new slant to willful failure to file, because that's the thing that you don't file.
Well, see, the interesting thing about their willful failure to file charges are they don't say what you didn't file. I've never read a case of willful failure to file where anybody was told they had to file a Form 1040, and here's the reason. They're just willful failure to file a required return is the full charge. So you'd think that they'd have to prove that the form they're saying she didn't file, or you didn't file, or I didn't file, was a form that we were required to file.
You think you're playing snooker with us?
Of course, they have been since the repeal of 1939.
Okay, we'll be back after this message. And for those of you that want to call in, the number is 800-313-9443. See you in a minute.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
We're back on this Thursday. This is Desi Andrews. I'm on the radio with Jack Cohen. We're talking about the chicanery of the IRS, our everybody's favorite agency, and the trickery of the 1040 form. I'm just looking at this I-83, Jack, and I've got to tell you, I'm not certain where they've gone wrong.
Well, it's not in the form itself. It's in the fact that whether they use it or not, they don't get approval.
Oh, they don't get
approval. That's what Lindsay's talking about. They don't get approval from OMB by way of assigning a new number to the 1040 every time they change it.
Okay. So if they got approval every time they put the 83I in,
mm-hmm.
then the OMB would approve it and give them a new number.
Right.
And so they've been coasting on this 1545-0074
uh-huh.
since 1981.
Right. Now, one thing that the Springer points out is that that they do change the form every year, you see. And that's a key, because the form is only good for 1 year. If it says tax year 2005, it means tax year 2005, not 2003 or 2007. And I've noticed that what they do sometimes. A lot of times we'll have people request copies of any substitute for return that's been filed.
Right.
When people don't file, the IRS claims they file for you, and they do that on a substitute for return. So when you do a Freedom of Information Act request to get a copy of the return they filed, they send you back a blank 1040, oftentimes with the two numbers stamped out, 2005 or 2003 or 1997, the last two numbers are scratched out, and they write in different numbers. But then
is that
they don't
right?
bother to fill out the form. So the form that they claim they file for you is of no use to them whatsoever, except as an entry into their bookkeeping system.
Well, I've noticed on the statements or just quick evaluations that they're sending out lately that, okay, first of all, there's a document locator number, which is a 14-digit number that allows you to pull that particular document.
Mm-hmm.
So you were just talking about the substitute for return, also known as SFR. And so the SFR, when it shows up on the stuff, has a document locator number, and that means it's specific. They can lay their hands on it instantly, right?
That means that it's on file with them, yes.
Right, and they can find it right away,
mm-hmm.
because that number is specific to that document only.
Right.
Well, I've noticed that.
Well, not to that document only. There could be a number of documents.
Oh, in that system.
Uh huh.
Okay.
According to that number, there could be a number of documents. Could be, you know, up to 15 documents. Responsive to that number, but there has to be at least one document on record when they give it an OMB control number. I mean, a document locator number.
Okay, so the solution that I mean, one of the things that we want to tell the audience that they can do if they have confusion over this whole thing is to send a Freedom of Information to the IRS to ask for. And their records for certain years, like I want to see my records for 2001, 2002, 2003, right?
Well, I get a little narrower than that when I do it, because what I want to see is what is on file, and not by any documents. I want to see the substitute for return. I ask specifically for the substitute for return because I know that it's a blank.
With your first BOIA?
Yeah, with one of them, with any of them, you know. if you wait, here's the thing with dealing with FOIAs, they've got 20 business days to answer you, but they don't answer you within 20 days. And that means you're entitled to a $1,000 penalty for them not responding within 20 business days. But nobody goes for it, so they just, you know, you might wait 30 or 40 days for an answer from these guys. So by the time you get all the information you need, you might be 6 months down the road.
What if they call and they say, what if they write you a letter and they say, thanks for your request, we can't get it to you for another 45 days?
Well, then they've written to you. They've responded.
Okay.
See, that
but then they have to
hook.
Get it within
but
that.
If they don't do that, you should be able to go to the Court of Claims and get your $1,000 from them for
okay.
not answering.
All right. We'll go over that in more detail in just a minute. Right now, let's take a call from Gary in Tennessee. Gary? Gary, are you there? How about Jeff in Colorado?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Who are you?
Jeff in Colorado. What about when you sign your tax return, you attach a statement that says, I'm not signing this willfully, I'm signing it under duress to avoid, you know, that way nothing can be used against you? Is that still good advice?
I think the front of it is the telltale heart, isn't it?
I can't hear Jeff in Colorado, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, can you hang on, Jeff?
Sure.
And then we'll relay that to Jack, and because we have another break coming up right now. So we'll get with Jeff and tell Jack what happened after the break.
Listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. We have a special offer for RBN listeners. We have a very limited supply of the very large quarter-ounce brilliant uncirculated 5-peso Uruguay gold coin minted in 1930. This 8-piece package contains more than 2 ounces of pure gold and is available for $1,431 delivered. Volume discounts apply to those of you who want to purchase 3 or more of these packages. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 or visit our website at republictradinggroup.com and order online. With many analysts calling for gold to double and even triple due to the heightened tensions in the Middle East, there's never been a better time to secure your wealth. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-691-7898 and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself.
Attention, Americans, this is a call to action. Our country is in an undeclared state of national emergency. Mexico has challenged the honor, dignity, and sovereignty of our nation by letting its citizens and military cross into American soil. Standoffs between the Mexican military and our law enforcement officers have taken place. Every day, thousands of Mexicans and others come into our country illegally, disregarding our laws. Americans are murdered, raped, and victimized by illegal aliens at an estimated rate of more than 1,000 per year. On May 6, join me, Frank George, Lupi Marino, Shannon Magali, Missy Stebbins, and Terry Anderson in protesting George W. Bush for his unwillingness to stop the illegal alien invasion of our country. Stand up for America. Join us in Crawford, Texas. Visit us on the web at areckoning.com. That's areckoning.com. This is a joint project of Latino Americans for Immigration Reform, the Texas Minutemen, and all patriotic Americans. George, we're coming.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Hello, we're back. This is Desi Andrews, and I'm on with Jack Cohen. Jack, what Jeff in Colorado said was, if you attach a codicil to the back of the 1040 form and say that you signed it under duress, coercion, etc., is that kosher? I mean, is that a good thing to do?
Well, I look at it this way. If I'm not required to file the thing, filing it under duress doesn't help me.
Because you filed it, didn't you?
I'm filing it under duress, which, you know, is kind of like a statement of fact. I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, what did you do? What rights did you preserve? You gave them information? You filled out the form, you signed it, you did everything they wanted you to, see? And it's kind of like if you scratch out under penalty of perjury, they won't take the form.
Right.
But if they take the form with a disclaimer, you know, like he says on the back, so what? What have you done for yourself?
Jeff, did you hear him?
No, I did not. What?
You can't hear each other?
No, I cannot hear him. I can hear you.
Hello? With the switchboard there, can we get some help? Engineers, I'll bang my phone here on the ground.
I do need to get going. I'm at work here, but I was told that was a good idea because then they can't use it, you know, in court against you or anything.
Well, what Jack said was, and I'll try to preface this as best I can. What Jack says was, if you're not required to fill out a form, why would you fill it out? You give them the information they want anyway. And whether you say it's under duress or coercion by a statement attached to it, is immaterial at that point because you've already given them what they wanted to know, and you did it voluntarily even though you said you were coerced. And if you scratch out under penalty of perjury on the bottom of the form, they won't take it. So what have you gained?
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. That's a question I had.
Okay, thank you for calling. John Leonard in Colorado. Hopefully everybody can hear everybody.
Yes.
Well, I can hear you, John. Jack, can you hear John?
No, I can't.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, John, but Jack can't hear you. They're trying to work it out on the switchboard.
I haven't had a job or work since 1996.
Okay.
So I don't file.
He hasn't had a job since 1996, Jack, so he doesn't file anything.
Well, I wouldn't either.
Now, I got a notice in the mail that they've taken $131 out of my Social Security.
Oh, okay. Jack, what they've done is he's on Social Security, and they're taking part of his Social Security check.
Oh, yes, sure.
What can I do about
that? Well, I've got a little issue going in that regard myself, as you know.
And can you hear Jack, John?
Yes, I heard him.
Okay, go ahead, Jack, because John can hear you.
Oh, good.
Here's
the thing. There's the Social Security Act, Section 207 of the Social Security Act, says that
Jack is not on there.
Yeah, he's actually talking, John.
207 says that of the Social Security Act says that Social Security old age pension benefits are not subject to levy, sequestration, garnishment, and the like, and can't be used as an asset in bankruptcy. And so they came along with a Section 6334C of the Internal Revenue Code, and by parenthetical expression said something like, without regard to Section 207 of the Social Security Act, no other property other than that which is listed at 6334 is exempt from levy. Well, now you have to take a look at the term levy. What does levy mean?
Okay, just a second. Let me tell John what you said. What he said is that the Social Security Act says that it can't be garnished at all and it can't be used as an asset in bankruptcy. So Social Security really can't be touched.
Well, they did.
Wait a minute, just a minute. Or other retirement funds. Yet the IRS think the thinks they've superseded that by in their 6334 saying. That doesn't count. We can levy. Now, just a second, John, because he's going to explain about levy. I mean, I know that you can't hear him, but the rest of the people can. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, the term levy is a legal term, and it means a post-judgment seizure, and normally it's pursuant to a writ of execution. And IRC 6331 says that the secretary can make a levy on government employees' paychecks by serving a notice on their employer at 6331A. And then at B, it says levy and distrain means the power to levy levy and distrain by any means. It doesn't say by any means other than those provided by American law.
Okay, John, are you still there?
Yes.
What he said is basically they've
heard that.
Well, you heard that.
Yes. Now, here's the thing.
All right.
This form I got is on the bottom of it, RC0604, and it is a payment levy program.
Right. Right.
So they took that out of my Social Security.
Yeah, but before they did that, they sent you a letter and told you they were going to take it, right?
They sent me something in certified mail. My name's spelled in all uppercase, and I refused it because it's a Puerto Rican corporation.
Well, sorry about that, John. What that was that was the notice that they were going to start attaching your retirement pay.
What can I do about it?
Well, open your mail next time and read it, and then send it back if you don't like it, number one.
I sent them a bill of particulars under Title V, USCA. I gave them 30 days to answer it.
They're not going to answer that. They don't have to. The only thing they have to respond to are a Freedom of Information request for documents. They don't have to respond to anything you say.
asked them to furnish the documents or the court order that they had in possession to do such a thing.
Right. Well, Jack, do you want to chime in here?
What you want is the record of assessments. They cannot, collect money from you until it's been assessed. And there is an assessment document, a Form 23C, assessment certificate, supported by a Form 3552 or the like, Form 17, notice of tax due, because you're liable for the tax on the date of assessment, but you don't know that you're liable for the tax until they send you a bill for it by way of notice of assessment and demand for payment of tax. But they don't have those documents, and that's where you start the breakdown.
So you have to ask them for the documents that are the assessment documents. You have to do it in the form of a Freedom of Information Act request, okay? A bill of particulars won't get it.
Where do I get this information in writing so I'll have this stuff?
It from the Internal Revenue Manual, or if you send me an email, I can help you.
Can you write? You don't have email?
No.
Oh, bummer. Well, I don't want to give Jack's address out over the air. It's not that hard. You can find there are sample Freedom of Information forms to places, and all you have to do is send it to the IRS, and I would address it to the disclosure officer at the one that says where you have to turn in your, at the location where you have to turn in your 1040 forms. And ask them for the assessment documents.
For the assessment documents?
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought under Schultz versus IRS, case number 4040196-CV.
Uh-huh.
They have no right to do this.
Schultz says is asserting that
doesn't change the fact.
Right. What Schultz says is they couldn't request books and records by summons because it didn't have an OMB number. And we've already gone over that. We've already said
that. They're a Puerto Rican Nazi communist corporation enforcing the second plank of the Communist Manifesto.
We're not going to argue with you.
So I don't know what to do. I don't work. I'm 72 years old.
John, ask for the information. That's all you can do. Send them a letter, Freedom of Information Act request, and ask for the send it to the disclosure office at the IRS branch where you would send a tax return and ask them for the assessment documents.
Assessment documents.
Mm-hmm. For whatever year they say they're assessing you, and it's always a year, just ask them for the assessment documents.
Okay, do I send it to the people that mailed this thing to me? One page. Department of Treasury, Kansas City, Missouri.
What do you send it there, Jack?
Disclosure office, where you would normally file a tax return.
Right.
And I don't know if that's the same or different in your case.
Right. You just look in a 1040 form, and that will tell you, or if you don't use the internet, it tells you right away on the internet. But wherever you live, in that whatever region you are, you have an IRS office where you're supposed to send in your 1040 return. That's
in
where,
Utah.
Okay. If it's Utah, then you would send it to disclosure. That's Ogden, Utah. You would send it to the disclosure officer in Ogden, Utah.
Disclosure office.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll do it, see what happens.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Paul in New York? I think are we able to take calls now? I mean, because everybody heard John. Hello, board? Oh, nope, not going to take Paul in New York right now because we're still having technical problems they're trying to get over. So a lot of Social Security checks are being... I use this with quotation marks, levied right now, aren't they, Jack?
Right, that's true, and it's completely illegal, but they're doing it.
Is it a punishment to... I mean, what is going on, Jack? What do you think? Is this punishment?
Well, I tell you what I think. You know, if you've ever worked for a federal agency or been in the military or anything, you know that any government job may terminate at the end of this year. And so in order to keep your job, you have to make sure that your outfit is needed. Now, the IRS has presented a pretty good case to the federal government that it is needed because it collects $1.2 trillion in taxes every year these days. And we know that congressmen don't read the laws, so we know that Congress doesn't know that the IRS is not authorized to collect taxes. To do so, if they do so, they do it under the aegis of the Secretary of the Treasury, and the Secretary of the Treasury is prohibited by the Constitution from collecting taxes. In fact, it's been my conclusion that the Secretary, as that term is used in the Internal Revenue Code, means the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico or Guam or American Samoa, but not the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States.
Yeah, one of the possessions.
Yeah. Because in the possessions, it is the rule of law that the Treasury Department collects taxes, whereas that's not the rule of law in the United States. So that's that's something that I think is going to come to the fore one of these days.
Well, I've been sending people to the Congress. I've been laying down some administrative footwork there, and then sending the people to the congressmen's offices, mm-hmm. and the congressmen don't seem very willing to help anybody on a tax issue. All a congressman does is puts an inquiry in with the IRS, and then the IRS sends them back a bunch of baloney in a letter, and the congressman says there's nothing more I can do.
Yeah.
And as you and I well know, Congress is the one that created the IRS, and Congress is the one responsible for the IRS, and I don't believe that's all they can do.
Well, it isn't. But I think that's partly due to the way we approach the subject with Congress. I think what we have to do is go in and hit hard on two issues. Where's the assessment? And where is the authority for anybody in the IRS to collect taxes? There's no law that says that there's a tax collector in the Treasury Department. No law.
Okay, so we go in and when we ask the congressman for help, we say, oh, by the way, let me educate you. There is no law that you have laid down that allows for the collection of income taxes.
No, that allows the Internal Revenue Service to collect taxes.
Okay, that allows the Internal Revenue Service.
In fact, the Internal Revenue Service is barely mentioned in the law. The commissioner is mentioned.
Right.
The secretary is mentioned.
Right.
But the IRS is not mentioned as a rule.
Right, but it's my contention that the more of us that go in and speak on a personal basis to their representative or their agent, the more hitch in the get-along we're going to put. Because Congress is ultimately responsible for this. They have turned these agencies loose on the people. The agencies have gone absolutely stark, raving, rabid dog mad.
Yep.
And then when we go back to Congress, Congress says, oh, it's not my fault, I didn't have anything to do with it, which is absolutely not true.
Right.
And so we have to know enough to know that Congress is ultimately responsible for any of this junk.
Well, it just cannot be that a congressman can get away with telling you that he doesn't understand the law, because he is responsible for what the law says, how it reads, how it affects us. He has got to be responsible for it, and yet they refuse to take responsibility. To my way of thinking, that's a good reason never to reelect anybody. They don't know diddly squat about what the law says.
No, they have no idea.
And they write it. They're responsible for writing it. So it's like one big Gandhi dance out there. You don't know who's responsible for what because you can't find it in the law, and the congressman won't lead you to it because he doesn't know where it is. I'm doing zinger letters these days in which I'm writing to Congress, my congressman, asking them to send me a copy of the taxing statute so I can show it to the IRS because they can't find it.
No, they can't find it.
I want the congressman to point it out to me so I can show it to the IRS to show them that there is a taxing statute.
Right, and since Congress is making the laws, they ultimately have to...
They can't turn that over to the IRS. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They can't, ask the IRS to satisfy that request because the request is for a copy of the law.
It's you, Bubba.
That the IRS can't find. See?
Right.
I love it.
Okay, so we just have to put more pressure on the Congress people, and we can't allow them to dance around about it, because they are responsible. It is their responsibility to uphold the laws of the United States.
Their responsibility to understand the laws they write. And they've been getting away with not understanding the laws they write for a century. It's ridiculous.
Well, how about the stupid laws they pass now, like with the Patriot Act and all that junk that they don't even read, much less
exactly.
write?
They don't read them. I got a letter from Jennifer Dunn when she was a congresswoman from my district here in Washington that said they haven't got time to read all this legislation that they enact. What? They don't have time to read the laws they write? Excuse me. What do you have time for besides party?
Well, they have time to go collect money for themselves is what they do.
They have time to campaign.
Yeah, well, they have to collect, what, $6,000 every day or they won't get reelected?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's their job, collecting reelection money.
That's right.
Okay, we'll be back in a little while. Those of you that are hanging on the phone, we're having a little technical problem, and that's why we haven't taken your calls. But we hope to have it resolved soon. See you after the break.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome back. This is Desi Andrews, and We're live today from RBN Live with myself and Jack Cohen. And right now we're talking about IRS and the problems that the IRS causes for the American people. So one of the solutions, Jack, that we talked about, and we really need to talk about solutions, is we have to place the blame squarely on who it belongs, and that is the Congress. Is that not correct? Jack? 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 Did we lose Jack, guys? Okay, hang on, guys. Jack's going to come back. Evidently, we got Jack kicked off here. One of the things you can do is write your congressman if you're not near enough to go in and visit their office. Generally, Congress people have, and we're talking about U.S. congressmen, generally congressmen have offices that are pretty, they have quite a number scattered among their constituencies. And so there should be one. If it's too far away for you to go, then by all means write to them. But say the IRS is a problem, and I can't find, number one, a taxing statute that applies to me, and number two, I can't find where the IRS has been appointed to be the collector for the Congress, and Congress is the one that's delegated in the Constitution to lay and collect taxes. Are you back, Jack? You want to notice me when he comes back on, guys? Hello? I feel like I'm talking to myself here. Hello?
Hello?
Jack, you back?
I think so.
Okay. I was just saying, one of the solutions is to continue to bombard the Congress people with complaints and inquiries, anything to do with the IRS. And don't let them pass the buck. Say, it's you.
Yeah.
First of all, you show me, number one, where the IRS has ever been designated to be the collector for you.
Uh-huh.
And number two, what law? I went out of my mind. What else should they ask, Jack?
Well, it's really simple. What part of the Constitution authorizes and or requires the president to collect taxes? No part. Therefore, nobody in the executive branch can collect taxes, period. It is the duty of Congress to do that. And as long as we lean on that, there's nowhere they can go. There's no squeaking room on that one.
Well, an agency are you saying an agency is an executive branch?
Any executive, well, you know, Congress can have agencies. The executive can have agencies. The judicial can have agencies. But they do their jobs according to what powers they're given by the Constitution. The Constitution says the president shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. It does not say that he executes any laws at all. In fact, it's a prohibition against him to enforce any law.
Okay, we'll be back with more solutions, so keep your pens and pencils handy. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Hopefully, we'll be a little tad bit more organized. Able to take your calls.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.